Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a thankful Thursday. We're glad y'all are here. And by the way, I got somebody else coming on right now. I'm glad he's here. So Jeff Poor is with us every week on the Grand Council that we do on Wednesdays. But Jeff Poor also has his own gig going on. I mean, he is got the host of his own radio show down on FM Talk 106.5 in the mornings down in Mobile. He's also the editor-in-chief of 1819 News. He's got a long history of working with folks like Breitbart and Tucker Carlson and others, and with Lanyap. And anyway, he's on the line right now. Jeff Poor, how you doing, buddy?
I am present.
You are indeed. And are you recovered yet from the fact that the legislative session is over?
No, I was telling my listeners this, and you know how like talk radio listeners can be. We're talking about a new state house, and oh, come on, guy. You know, yeah. They can just meet in tents. Who cares? But like in real time on the airwaves, Senator, my health deteriorated, like literally.
I believe it.
And you could hear like my voice.
Yes.
I sort of sounded like Alex Jones before the end of this.
Well, yeah. So for those who don't know, they are building a new state house, which, you know, raised eyebrows. But I worked in that state house for 8 years. I'm going to tell you right now, within 3 hours, every time I was there, my eyes would be burning. There's so much mold in that building, so many problems. It's probably got asbestos in the walls. And listen, brother, when we took apart the Senate chamber to put new desks in because we had these old Formica desks from the 1960s or 70s, we were finding, like, we've been sitting in mold. It was everywhere. There were even dead rats inside some of the desks. It was just gross. So it couldn't have happened sooner.
Yeah, one more year of this place, and then they're not going to be able to tear it down, Senator. They're going to take it. They can't just like implode it, cause it will, you know, go into the atmosphere. They're going to have to like surgically take it apart. Is my
really?
Understanding.
Holy yes. crap! That building has been so added onto. It wasn't even meant to be a legislative building. I mean, it wasn't. It wasn't the state house. It was what, Department of Transportation or something like that.
You're right. Yeah, back before it was transportation, it was just the highway department.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, they basically carved up the building inside to make it something that it was never intended to be. And then,
right.
And then people, I mean, I think it was what, 2008, they had a massive flood and there's a tunnel
right.
under the building, and the tunnel got 6 feet deep and mold got all up through the building at that point.
What's up, Jeba Wagner, a longtime state senator, I guess also a state House member,
yeah.
But he was there in the early 80s. They were meeting at the Capitol. A lot of people think you meet at the Capitol, you know, with a dome, but that's not true. You meet behind the Capitol.
That's right.
In this old highway building. But he was there when they were still meeting in the old House chamber and the old Senate chamber. And it was not good what they were doing. So they said, well, you know what? For now, we will put you in this building, and then when we are ready for we'll build you a new building. And that was like 82 or 83 or something. And they've been kind of in this temporary situation since then.
Yeah, it's really nuts. And I remember when we redid the Senate chamber, we had the carpets were all stained. Everything was kind of a mess. And we actually used prison labor to build the desks and put them in and all that. And I asked Del Marsh, who was our Senate pro tem at the time. I said, Del, what do you think, man? He says, Phil, now it looks like a place where we should be passing laws. And I thought, well, that was a very telling thing to say. But let me ask you, man, you spend as much time during the legislative session in that state house as members of the legislature do. You do a great job of reporting live and being a member of the press corps there. In your opinion, this legislative session we just saw, is anybody going to remember it?
It'll be remembered for, I think, maybe the prelude before the straw broke the camel's back. There's what I will remember about this is, for the first time, senators are really starting to like kind of ask like, well, why are we here? Why do we have what's the point of our supermajority?
Yeah.
You know, why bother with this? And, you know, you kind of sense that frustration. And even the pro tem finally said, yeah, we're going to have to do something to fix this. So I think they're going to look at it, you know, some kind of organizational session to change the rules between now and when they gavel in 2026.
Well, they should. And for those who don't know, there are true Senate and House rules. You have to go by the rules. There's a decorum. There's an order. And there are things you're allowed to do and not allowed to do, or certain orders in which you have to do them. And I get that. And that's all real. But we're also bound to certain rules that are archaic. They date back to times we didn't have copy machines. That's why Democrats love to use read the bill at length, which means have somebody have to stand there and read the bill, which is nothing but a punitive measure because Democrats can't pass anything right now. And that dates back to before they had copy machines and not everybody could have a copy of the bill. They wanted it read at length.
I'll tell you something else, though. We think, well, you know, these heroic Democrats in the supermajorities, poor beleaguered Democrats, are stopping this Republican takeover of the state, and they're using every tool in the tool chest, and they're just, you know, but it's not true at all. The Republican supermajority is being held hostage at times.
Yep.
By Democrats in the House fighting with Democrats in the Senate. It's internal party strife that is causing the rest of the state to have to, like, pay a price.
I'll never forget when we first got elected after the 2010 election and we're in session. We're in the special session that we got called immediately on ethics. And so we had Jim Folsom was still the lieutenant governor, which meant we had a Democrat sitting in the seat trying to figure out how to deal with a Republican supermajority for the first time in 136 years. And Roger Bedford, who was a longtime Democrat leader, he was mad because we were doing things that he couldn't stop. And I'll never forget, he went to the podium one time and he goes, Mr. President, I object to this abuse of the systems, Mr. President. And to his credit, Jim Folsom actually, like, literally face palmed, rubbed his face and said, Senator, I believe these are the rules you put in place a few years ago, and now you will have to live with them. So, well, listen, man, so this session is in the can. They're done. I was opining about this the other day with our buddy Scott Buttram. And I feel like this is, when I said, will anybody remember it? This is like the forgotten session because it was like a nothing burger. I'm not sure what the heavy lift was. I'm not sure what the thing to shout and crow about was. Was there anything in your opinion you look at and go, wow, glad we got that done?
No, I mean, I think I'm glad. I mean, there were some heavy lifts that I'm not really thrilled about. I think they spent way too much time on this veterans bill. That was just unnecessary, in my opinion. And it was just because Governor Ivey, well, she had a bone to pick with somebody, you know, internal, you know, executive agency, turmoil there. And they got through it. I mean, that seems like forever ago, too. But we kept waiting for something bigger. I'd say there's one thing that we have to – it's no small feat, Senator, and it's the Birmingham Water Works.
I agree.
Because whenever they would breathe Birmingham Water Works, there were senators who would be just shut it down, just completely shut down the entire legislature, do whatever you could, just crush it. And I mean, to Dan Roberts and Jim Carnes said, you know, to hell with you guys, or we're going to do this. Even Republicans were like, please don't do that, Senator Roberts, please no. And he and they said no. I mean, you know, this enough's enough. We don't do it now. We'll shut it down ourselves. And Gunger said, well, you know, well, let's figure it out. And Jabba Wagner, and they all figured it out. Now, what happened, right? Well, let's talk about this, because it was a heavy lift, but it could have been so much better. They go into that building, and they look at it, and they got the Democrats licked. They really do, once and for all. They have a cloture calendar, first time in 5 years, last month. First time in 5 years before they shut the Democrats down. Bobby Singleton just looked like his mom had, like, packed celery sticks in his lunch instead of Doritos or something. And he knew what was coming. And then I'd say, like, a few days later, they have a bent over barrel. It is coming. There is nothing the Democrats can do to stop it. and they cry mercy and, hey, let's work a deal, guys. Can't we all be buddies here? Yeah. And they add two more seats to the board to appease the Democrats. But that was done, I guess, with this idea that there would be a truce from that point forward to the end of the session. Well, it worked for a day or two. And then we got to when they were about to pass the general fund budget, Roger Smitherman, you know, he ambushes them and says, Mr. President, I'd like for the bill to be read. General fund budget took 4 hours to read. It killed a bunch of bills that day. You cannot trust these guys. They got to stop extending goodwill to them. I told them this going into yesterday, Senator. I said, you guys aren't going to try to play nice with them, are you? We'll see. They may not do anything. I'm telling you, y'all are crazy if you think they're going to let you guys just pass whatever you
want.
It's like
watching Lucy pull the football away from Charlie Brown every single time. Every time.
I sit on the radio. I was like, come on, man. Y'all have got to be ready to cloture. You got to walk out there with those cloture petitions. You got to go Del Marsh on them. You got to do this. And then, we don't want to play that rough. And then, sure enough, they almost killed another day yesterday. They waited till about – they gaveled in at like 1, which was kind of a late, I thought. They should have come in a little earlier that day. And then about, I'd say by 3 o'clock, they had, well, all right, you were right. We're going to figure out a way not to cloture these guys. And that took, that took some time.
It really is nuts. And I saw it some while I was there, but I feel like we used to, now there were times when I would get frustrated because I felt like we kowtowed too much or we'd waste it. We call it burning a day. We'd burn a legislative day when we didn't have to. But when you're looking at the last day of the session and you're letting him read the bill at length, they should have seen that bill coming. They should have passed that bill before. And yet they waited to the last day to do it and gave them a layup opportunity to slow things down. And like you said, when that happens, there's a bunch of other good bills that die because they don't have time to get to them. And what really aggravates me too, Jeff, I'll be honest with you, is when you see the legislature use the excuse, well, we just didn't have time to get to all of it. Yeah, you did. You're the supermajority. The only thing you didn't get to is a thing you didn't have the will to get to. Everything else could have been done. There's not a thing that you can't get done if you want to with a super duper majority like they've got right now.
Well, let's talk about this though. Look at how the House is. I mean, they have to cloture on occasion.
Sure.
But for some reason, Ledbetter, he's got some goofy opinions on a few issues here and there that I differ with him on. But I think he has done a remarkable job of getting that chamber in order, getting bills done. And they were irritated with the Senate. They had gotten through all their calendars. They had done what they were supposed to do. And the Senate on the last day, Senator, it wasn't like they were passing big, sweeping, controversial bills. The one they got was the police immunity. That was it. But it was all local bills. They had to go to a calendar on the last day of the session and just pass local bills in the Senate and had to still fight out the filibusters. And the House, they just had to hang out and concur with the Senate. So, like, all day yesterday, it was just like they went off to dinner. They were gone. I guess some of them worked on their CrossFit or something. I don't know. But that showed you what was going on there.
Yeah.
That the leadership, Republican leadership in the House, once and for all, which is a stark contrast to Mac McCutcheon when he was Speaker.
Yeah,
they gavel in on time. They stop some of the silly, hijinks from the Democrats. They keep them within the rules. You can't just get up there and talk and bloviate. You got to be germane to the bill. They enforce the rules. They finally made it how it was intended to function.
Well, and I get that. And brother, I'm out of time, but I agree that I think Garland Gudger, the pro tem of the Senate, is new, and I hope he gets his feet under him pretty quick and is able to come in next year and propose new rule changes, get them done in advance, and run a different tone I do not like it when the House, which has 105 worker bees running around, is somehow more orderly than the Senate, which only has 35. But
one more thing, real quick. And it was this. They were testing Gudger the whole time. I think they bit off more than they were supposed to, and they're going to pay a price for it.
And rightfully so. Got to go, brother. Appreciate you. Jeff Poor, 1819 News, and with the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile. All right, come right back. I'll keep that thread going because some unique stuff happened and didn't happen in Montgomery. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.